God has challenged us to let him get released through us, and we've talked about that, that we want to let God live his life through us, not be religious and try to live some box or some concept of God, our version of God, but to let God, when we come to the cross and realize that we personally needed Jesus to die, God, to become our substitute. And he takes our sin upon himself. And we see that. And we ask him to forgive us. And he says, you know, I've been waiting your whole life for this day. At that day, at that moment when you come to know Jesus as your Savior, the Bible calls it being born again, and he comes to live inside of us. And now it's not like he wants to be a little bird in a cage, you know? He wants to live his life through us. And so we want to release God, and it's gonna look different than what we have a concept of. So part of that today may be going back there during I'm releasing you, if you need to. However I say this, Lord. I'm releasing you whenever you're supposed to go, or if you're supposed to go back there, and there's like 20-foot-long painting that God has put on my wife's heart, and part of that painting is going to be done by each one of us here. And as God may move on you to go back there, and you don't even know how to paint. I don't know how to paint. I can't even imagine. I don't even have a clue. I don't know how to do that kind of thing. But I'm going to go back there and be available to God and let God do that. If God wants to do that through you, if God today, recently, God gave me the idea about coming to church is like somebody inviting you to their home. Well, he invited me to his house, and I've just been coming to his house every time he invites me. When I come to church, it's like he keeps inviting me to come and lay up there, just be with him. And while today I was up there with him, it was like I'm hearing God move through different people. I was getting touched, like, big time, you know, through all these noises, you know, like keyboard and singing and whistles and chimes and drums and shofars and whew. Were you getting touched? Was God doing anything inside of you? But that's what God wants to do, is he wants to touch us. Have you ever, I like going hunting. When I go out and sit in the woods, man, I don't even know how to tell you. It just ministers me just sitting in the woods. Now, of course, I like it when I get to see a deer and shoot one. But I'm telling you what, just sitting out there in the woods, it's like, I don't know, it's like it all becomes alive to me. I know it's alive, but I don't know how to explain it in words. But anyway, so release and Sue paint. And then right now I'm going through something heavy in my life, and it just happened to me this week. And when it started or became known to me, I didn't know what to do, and I just said, God, I can't handle this, and I don't know what to do with it. And after a bit I said, God, would you just tell me that you've got it, like I can just trust in you and rest in you? And about an hour later, somebody texted me and said, I don't know what's going on, but I feel something like, I feel like you're carrying a heavy burden, and God wants you to know that He's got it. Now, and then somebody else came to me and said, I want you to know this week, I cried for you. If you look in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says this, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. To let Christ live through us, one of those things is going to allow, in another verse, John 13:35, he says, I think it's 13:35, he says, greater love hath no man than this, than that he lay down his life for his friend. And somebody texted me that message, and somebody carrying that burden for me, and somebody crying for me. There's no greater expression of love, the Bible says. Because they had to lay down their life. You see, that's what we want to live here. That's what we mean by a relationship church. And we're trying to learn how to release God. And we've learned a lot of things and said a lot of things over the last 8 or 9 years that we've been doing this. But you know what? We're still learning how to release God. Whew. Okay. I just want to say a few things, and then I'm going to read some verses. In Proverbs, what we're talking about, the message this morning, and what we're talking about is we're doing a series on what is truth. What is truth? Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. John 18, verse 38, a man said to Jesus, what is truth? In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8, it says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, think on these things. What we think is what we believe. And what we believe is what we live. Now, there are intrusive thoughts, lies that the enemy tries to get us to believe. They're not your thoughts. You can break agreement with them because they're not your thoughts. If you have a thought to commit adultery, that is anybody, do you want to please Jesus? Do you want to live for Jesus? But you don't find yourself doing it all the time, right? Not 24 hours a day, correct? Correct? You find yourself living this below life, this, we call it a low life, but living below, where we get mad at people, where we have anger, where we want to cut them off, where we want to hurt somebody, or we have thoughts of, or stealing, or taking, or just selfishness. Well, those thoughts are not Jesus' thoughts. Those thoughts are from the enemy trying to come live in you. They're not your thoughts. Do you want to be selfish? Do you want to hurt somebody? I mean, in deep down inside, I know there's times that people hurt you and your feelings are you want to lash back. They say something about you or to you, and then we want to, you know, cut them up with our tongue, put them in their place. But down inside, is that really where you want to live? No. See, the down inside, that's you. That other stuff is the world, the flesh, and the devil. One of the things we're going to talk about today is, I better read it. What is the process to live the truth? We're going to talk about three things. What is the process to live the truth? But I just want to say these and then read some verses and then come back to that. What we think is what we believe. And what we believe is what we live. Now, there are intrusive thoughts, lies, that the enemy tries to get us to believe. But you can break agreement with them because they are not your thoughts. If you believe a lie, that is, you receive it, then you are living with a lie. And you actually begin to think that that lie is the truth. Your lie becomes your truth because it becomes the way you live. It's what you base your life on and what you base all your decisions on. Do you want to build your life on a lie? Do you want to believe a lie? Do you want to live a lie? Of course not. So how do we live the truth? We're going to talk about that. Okay, I'm not supposed to read those verses yet. Okay. John 14, verse 6. I'm just going to read some verses, and I might say a little phrase next to each one, I think. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus is the truth. Chapter 14, verses 16 to 17. Jesus said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, live with you forever. Who's he going to give us? Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Why? Because the world seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. He says, there is a Spirit of truth that I'm going to give you. And he's going to live in you. John 15, 26. But when the Comforter is come, Jesus said, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceeds from the Father or comes from the Father, he shall testify of me, Jesus. John 16, 13. Howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. The Spirit of truth will guide you into all truth. John 17, 17. Sanctify them through thy truth, Jesus prayed. Thy word is truth. Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. There are people who have the truth, but they twist it, they pervert it. And he says, the wrath of God is going to be revealed from heaven against that. Romans 1:25. He said, there are people who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. There are people who changed the truth of God into a lie. Romans 2:2. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. Romans 2:8. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, upon them will come indignation and wrath. Romans 9:1. I say the truth in Christ. I lie not. My conscience also bearing witness in the Holy Ghost. Have you ever had a thought? I'm going to give you an exercise to do this week that if you've never done it, you're going to be amazed at the result. Have you ever thought something and you tried to write it down or speak it, but in here you knew it was a lie? But you thought it was the truth. You felt like it was the truth. But when you went to write it down or you went to speak it, in here you knew it was a lie. Have you ever done that? Anybody? One, two. Okay, guess what? The rest of you are in for a treat. This week, I'm giving you homework. One of the things I want you to do in your homework is when you have feelings, somebody hurts you. I don't even know what to say, Lord. But when you have thoughts this week, write them down, like your feelings. I feel like no. Have you ever felt like nobody likes me, nobody wants me? If you didn't raise your hand, you were lying. Okay. Man, I'm surrounded with liars. All right. Yeah, you follow what I'm saying? We've all had that thought. Nobody likes me. Nobody wants me. I'm all alone. Nobody cares about me. I can't do this. I might as well give up. Write it down when you have those feelings this week, whatever they are. Write them down. Anyway, I'm going to come back to that. It's in my notes. I'll come back to that. I'm getting ahead of myself, maybe. Let's read some more verses. The point is in Romans 9:1, he talks about my conscience bears witness or rings true with the Spirit of God, the Holy Ghost. There are times we feel like something's true, but we know it's a lie. Down inside, we know it's a lie, but we feel like it's true. I'm an animated person. I get excited. I talk loud. I get all pumped up. And sometimes Sue has said, "You're yelling at me." You, in the past, "You're yelling at me. You hate me." She said, "When I saw you," like later when we're talking after I've had to apologize, whatever, and we're talking, and then she says, "I felt like you hated me." And I said, "I didn't hate you. But if I speak above my normal voice, which is already loud enough, she thinks that I hate her. She feels like I'm mad at her. I'm yelling. And she's very sensitive." Okay? Now, I'm just animated. If I believe something, I get excited about it. Nice big world. I, you know, I don't go, "Well, I think and I feel." I say it like, "Bless God, this is it." And I say it very demonstratively, emphatically. You know what I'm saying? That doesn't mean, and I have to tell my guys, one of my guys that works for me, I told him, I have to keep telling him all the time, my newest guy, "I'm not mad at you. I don't dislike you. I'm not disappointed. I do get frustrated because of what you're doing or because of, you know, making mistakes or causing me to have to, you know, do all this work. I might get frustrated, but I'm not mad at you. I don't dislike you. I'm just animated. I'm just an excitable person." But I have to tell him this. I keep feeling like I have to tell him this. I've been having to tell him this. I haven't had to tell him this in the last week or two. But I've been telling him that because I'm aware that I'm very forceful. Okay? At least I'm becoming more aware of it. So, the Holy Spirit bears witness down inside. He rings true. You go to say something that's a lie down in here, you know it's a lie. But our feelings are so strong, we think it's truth. You know what I'm talking about? First Corinthians 13:6. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Do you have pleasure in sin? Or and get excited and thankful for sin? Or do you rejoice in the truth? Because if you rejoiced in sin, then you wouldn't want to be here. But what you really want is truth. That's why you're here. 2 Corinthians 4:2. But have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. I can't comment or I'll preach. 2 Corinthians 6:7. By the word of truth, by the power of God, by the armor of righteousness on the right hand and on the left. 2 Corinthians 13:8. For we can do nothing against the truth, but for the truth. Because truth is truth whether we believe it or not. Galatians 4:16. Am I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth? Galatians 5:7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you? Who stopped you that you should not obey the truth? You began well, but who stopped you from completing it? Ephesians 4:24. And that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Ephesians 5:13. But all things that are reproved are made manifest, or clearly revealed by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. 2 Thessalonians 2:10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. 2 Thessalonians 2:12 and 13. That they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. What is the process to live the truth? Do you have an idea? How do we live the truth? Can I just give you three thoughts? I mean, does anybody want to share, answer that question before I give you three thoughts? How do we process the truth? What is the process to be able to live the truth? Go ahead, Steve-O. What's the answer? The Bible. Okay. When we confess our sin and accept the truth. Okay? Anybody else? Wow. Awesome. Anybody else? How do we get from where we are, whatever level we're at, closer to Jesus, closer to the truth, where we're living the truth more often? Put God first. Okay. Yes. Practicing it.
You catch yourself when you catch yourself doing something that's not the truth, correct yourself. Let God know, I've been practicing it, because I have to say, oh, God, forgive me. I shouldn't have said that. Or, you know, please take this thought away from me. You constantly practice it every day, all through the day, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed.
Amen. I know, but it's for thing.
You have to be willing to consider that what you are thinking or what you've believed is not the truth, so you could learn what the truth is.
Wow. Anybody else? Yes, sir.
Well, if you're unsure of the truth, just ask God, and He will show it to you.
That's right. Man. Anybody else? Whew. Awesome. Good stuff. Y'all already read my notes. I was going to give you three thoughts. I mean, just because I feel like God wants me to give them to you, write them down. What is the process to live the truth? Number one, begin by questioning what you already believe and think. If we already think, I already know that, then you can't receive anything. I already know. Then you can't hear. I've been guilty of that a lot of my life, not being able to hear other people because I thought, I already know. So begin by questioning what you already believe and think. As somebody said, ask God to tell you the truth on a given area. God, I'm willing to take what I believe and lay it down at your feet, Jesus. Would you please show me the real truth in this? Because if what you believe already is the truth, He'll give it back to you. But what if what you believe has some lies in it? What if it's off? It's a mixture of truth and lies. Do you want to live that? We don't want lies, right? So begin by questioning what you already believe and question what you already think. We're in a relationship, let's say with our mate, and we've already been living. One of the reasons that when we go to marry people, that we have 6 counseling sessions, 1 week apart, and we have homework, so that when you do the homework, then we'll do the next session. If you don't do the homework, we don't do the next session. And the reason for that is because we're trying to give you tools how to help you think ahead of time so that you'll have a better marriage than what a lot of people have. I don't want your marriage to end up in a divorce. I don't want you to have to keep getting bigger cars so you can sit further apart. Okay? Do you understand? Did anybody get that? Okay? So what we do is we have counseling where we help you to get some ideas to think about before you get married. Because before you get married, if you go back to when you got married, you know, you had stars in your eyes, you know. You can't see. You know, you're just like, I mean, you know what I'm talking about? Okay. Huh? Your judgment is clouded. So that's why you go to somebody else and say, would you help me to see what I can't see? Would you help me to understand some things that would help me to continue going down the road in my heart? And what about when everything's that? What about when it's not like that? Is that what we do? But that's what we do. The thing about this ring, the reason the Christian faith that we use this ring is because it's supposed to represent the unity, the love of God. It has no beginning, has no end. See, God loves us unconditionally. He doesn't love us and then stop because we mess up or sin or disobey. I don't love you no more. you got to come to church again? Okay, now I love you. But that's how we treat each other. That's why I'm so glad you're here, because I think you want what I want. And what I want is I want to be around a group of people that have this kind of love. Not dropping kind, but I want to be around people that have this kind of love for me. When somebody told me that God was showing them that, was telling them that I had a burden, they said, I don't even know what it is, but God just, I feel like you must be carrying some heavy burden. And they just kept praying for me. That was somebody that they could have said, no, God, I got enough on my plate. I don't need him on my heart. No, do you know that I don't think I hardly ever prayed for my pastor for the first, I don't know how many years, 20, 25 years? Because I thought he already had it all together. I thought he just, like, everything was, like, wonderful. You know? He knows more than I do. He's, walking with God. He's got it all. He's a man of God. Oh, that's true. But you know what? He's clothed in flesh and blood just like I am. And I'm clothed in flesh and blood just like you are. And I need people to pray for me. And I need people to encourage me. And I need all of that. Because I haven't arrived. And that's why we need to be vulnerable to one another. That's why we need to be open, honest, real, vulnerable, and transparent. And you can't say, yeah, you need to do that. Well, wait a minute. How about, remember, when you're pointing at somebody else, you got three fingers pointing back at you? Let's let it begin with us. Let's get open, honest, real, vulnerable, and transparent with one another. Let's us make that choice. I'm going to do it. Yeah, but every time I do it, people hurt me. That's when you get to know God better as the comforter. Because then you turn to God and I have to tell God this. People hurt me. And I say, Daddy, they hurt me. They said things at me. They yelled at me. They called me names. And then Daddy just holds me on his lap and he kisses me. Harvey, what a Harvey. And just hugs me and holds me. And he loves on me. He says, I understand. They did it to me. I know exactly what you're feeling. And he doesn't say, okay now, go play, I'm busy. He says, just stay here as long as you want, son. Matter of fact, you never have to get down. I'd like to carry you next to my heart the rest of your life. Because people are going to hurt you. But I'm not going to let people hurting me stop me getting open, honest, real, vulnerable, and transparent. Do you understand? I'm not going to put up walls. Okay. Okay. I know you, Larry. Okay, we're friends. But we're going to stay this far. Put out your hand. Okay, we're going to stay this far apart so you can't hurt me. Walls. Self-protection. How is that a good relationship? But we do it with our mates. They've hurt us, and they hurt us repeatedly. And it's like, how? So how do we, what is the process of whereby to live the truth? Number one, begin by questioning what you already believe and think, how you already respond. I know if I say this, he's going to do that. I know if I do this, she's going to do that. And so we precondition ourselves, and then we won't open up, and we shut, and we begin to build walls between us and another person, like our mate. How about constantly giving them a gift of forgiveness? Peter said, Lord, how oft should I forgive my brother? Do I got to forgive him seven times in a day? I mean, I think that's pretty generous. I'm really Don't even like that idea, Lord. And Jesus said, how about 70 times 7? I tried to figure that out of how many that is per hour. Take 24 hours and divide it into 49. Okay? So let's see. It's over 20 times an hour. That means once every 3 minutes, I'm having to forgive somebody. Do you get how often we're talking about? How often do I forgive Janiyah? As often as she needs it. I forgave you 7 times? That's it! I'm done. I did 7 times. I forgave you. I gave you a gift of forgiveness. And you did it again. Out of the pool. Out of my life. Arm's length. Nope. Pole length. Nope. Building length. Who's this cackler? I love it. I love cacklers in the background. What is the process to live the truth? Begin by questioning what we already believe and think, how we already condition ourselves to respond. Begin by questioning. I'm talking about a foundation here. Begin by questioning what we already think, what we already believe. I'm willing to see something different, God. Number two, next, choose what you will base your beliefs on. What is going to be your truth? Where are you going to get truth from? Well, I get my truth from my feelings. If I feel it, it must be true. Are your feelings true? Well, because my mom and dad said it, that makes it true. We're supposed to honor and obey our parents. But just because I told things to Janiyah doesn't mean that they were true. I thought they were true, but you know what? Where I was at the time when she was growing up is not where I'm at now. That's why a couple of weeks ago, I called her and I said, Janiyah, will you please forgive me? I want to release you from burdens I put on you as a kid. And I don't even remember exactly what they are now, but I said, whatever it was, because I'll go off, okay? But it's like, I called and said, Janiyah, I was wrong when I was raising you because I put burdens on you that I am now seeing in your life, causing burdens in your life right now. And God showed me that I'm the one who put those burdens on you when you were a kid. Will you please forgive me? I was wrong. But at the time, I thought I was right. But I wasn't right. And when I realized that, I went back and asked her to forgive me. She forgave me. I broke it off of her and said, what I put in you, I take off of you. It has no more right in your life. And it set her free. So number two is choose what you're going to base your beliefs on. Are you going to base your beliefs on the teachings of Muhammad? Go read Muhammad's book and see if you're going to base your beliefs on that. Confucius, Little Orphan Annie in the comic books, Spider-Man. That's what I'm going to base my life on, Spider-Man. What's that guy's name? Cruise. Tom Cruise. What he thinks. Oprah. That's what I'm going to base my life on. Please. When is it on again? I can't wait to turn Oprah on so I can base my life on that. Do you get what I'm saying? What are you going to base your life on? Money. Is that what you're going to base your life on? Almighty dollar? Let me give you a thought. As a drug dealer, when I met Jesus, I started reading this book, smoking a joint, reading the book, and God, it was like down inside, I knew this was true. And I said, wow, It's like, I want what this says. Because as I came in contact with it, I want what this says. When I tried to read stuff by the Jehovah Witness, it was like inside it was going, you know? It was like, this ain't true. When I tried to read stuff by the Mormons, it was like, you know? It was like, that ain't true. When I tried to read the Quran, that ain't true. But when I read this, it's like, peaceable. Yes, inside of me, jumping up and down. Oh, yes, true. That's what I choose to base my life on. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you base your life on this? Don't tell me yes until you hear the next little part. Do you base your life on this? If you base your life on this, then let me ask you a question. Those of you that are opinionated, next time you're given your opinion, I'm going to ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Next time you're given your opinion, believe me, nobody in this room is more opinionated than me. Okay? Don't y'all like that? Don't you just like her being in this, you know? She makes it feel fun or something. I don't know. You ready? You ready? The next time you're given your opinion, I pray that the Holy Spirit brings it to your mind and says, where is that in the Bible? Where is that in Scripture? But I think, but I feel, but I believe. Where'd you get that? Where'd you get it from? Well, I got it out of the Bible. Really? Chapter and verse, please. Show me the chapter and verse where you got that. Because I've had pastors, religious leaders, that have told me that, and I said, chapter and verse, please. Where'd you get that in the Bible? Because I've read it from cover to cover. I don't remember that in there. I had a pastor who did that. And when I went in, he asked for a meeting with me. And I went to have the meeting, and God told me, take your switchblade. This is the sword of the Lord, the whole Bible. Well, the New Testament is a switchblade then, okay? So I took my switchblade, my New Testament. Did anybody get that? So I took my Bible with me, and I went to lunch with this pastor. And then he said, I wanted to meet with you to tell you what we, after studying the Bible, what we believe. And he told me. And I handed him a Bible and I said, chapter and verse, please. Now, this was a pastor who had doctor in front of his name and who was on a board of a Bible college and was nationally known. And it had a big church. You know what his answer to me was? It's in there. I said, well, if it is, then you ought to be able to show me. God told me to take my Bible with me when we talked. And the man would not do it. And God had me do that over and over again. That man didn't base his life. Everything, all of his opinions and all of that weren't necessarily based on this. That man is in prison today. A literal prison. What is the process to live the truth? Begin by questioning what you already believe and think. Number two, choose what you will base your beliefs on. Are you basing your beliefs on the Bible? If so, where is it in the Bible? Not, well, I heard what Pastor Harvey said, just because I say it don't make it true. Number three, then compare your thoughts and beliefs one by one against your foundation of truth. Take your thoughts, well, I think, so where is that in the Bible? Compare it to your foundation of truth. If you're going to believe the Bible, if you're going to believe the Quran, show it to me in the Quran. What's your foundation of truth? Yes. Okay. She says, can I tell you something? I go, yep. She goes, what you're teaching right now? Yes.
That's what happened to me before a couple of weeks. My friend, who I love him so much, almost when I born, I was spend the time with them. And that was hurt me so bad that I cannot forget them. And whatever he say, that was in my head. What am I feeling? I feel that I cannot forget them. I need to bring them back hurt, you know.
In other words, you wanted to hurt him because he was
hurting
you.
Yes, yes. I just ask God to forgive me. I not have to do that. I have to choose on the Bible. I choose everything, what I feeling and what I thinking. As natural. Help yourself to never do that. I right now feeling I not have to. And I feel and I can. I can. My spirit tell me my feeling. I was direct my feeling. I just ask God to forgive me. I don't have to do that.
Amen. What do my feelings tell me? Here's your homework. What do my feelings tell me this week? Somebody hurts you. You find yourself getting upset. What are your feelings telling you? They hate me. They don't like me. They don't want to be around me. They wish I was dead. Write those feelings down. I know that they feel true, but after writing them down, ask yourself if deep down inside you really believe that they are a truth you could stand on or a truth that you would teach others to stand on, like your children. Would you teach your children to stand on those feelings that you feel are so true? You see, because those feelings are lying to you. Do you understand what I'm saying? He hates me. He doesn't like me. Write that down. Now ask yourself, do I feel like it's true? Yeah, I feel like it's true. But down inside, do I really believe it's true? No. He doesn't hate me. So what do my feelings tell me? They lie to us all the time. I'm giving you an idea. We either get to live in the flesh or we get to live in the spirit. Okay? That's in here somewhere. I got a whole bunch of them. So, is our life based on truth or lies? Is our life based on the supernatural or the natural? Is our life based on the eternal or the temporary? Is our life based on above or below? Where are we living? You see, when you're loving people and you're forgiving people and you're caring about people and you're helping people, that's the God life. That's the spirit life. That's the eternal life. That's the supernatural life. When we're not forgiving, but we want vengeance, anger, hate, Pay them back. I'm going to make your life so miserable you'll never do that to me again. Is that the above life or the below life? So, how do we live the above life instead of the below life? Because we all have those same feelings. Okay? I don't want us to just say words. I mean, that's true. But I don't want us to just say words because those words, I hear them and I go, yep, but I'm not humble. How about, well, okay, you got to forgive yourself as well as forgiving somebody else. And he said forgive yourself before you even forgive somebody else. How about this? First of all, if we come to Jesus and say, Jesus, this is what I feel. I feel like it's true. Hey, Jesus. I feel like it's true. But Jesus, I know my feelings are lying to me. But because of my feelings, I'm mad at them. I don't want to forgive them. I don't want to be around them. I want to say things about them, talk about them, find myself talking about them to other people. Jesus, will you forgive me? And he's like, I was just waiting for you to ask. I already paid for that. He says, now I want to lift the burden off of you. He says, so I forgive you. And like Reuben said, now will you forgive yourself? Forgive yourself for listening to the devil and let the devil live through you to talk about other people, to get angry, to hate, to have unforgiveness. Do you understand? And if you need to, if you've hurt somebody else, you need to ask God, God, do I need to go to that person and ask them to forgive me? Do I need to go confess to them? I hurt you. I said this. I did that. Not if I hurt you. If I was wrong, I'm sorry. That's what I used to say a lot. If I was wrong, I don't think I am. But just because your feelings are hurt. It's not much of an apology, is it? I know, it's got all that rotten stuff in there. The below life. I don't want that living in me. That's where the humility comes in. God, this is what's true, but I don't want it to be true in me. This is what I feel is true. But it's a lie. And I only want you living in me. God, would you forgive me? Yes, I already died to pay for that in full. I'm glad you came to me. Now, would you give me that burden? Would you let me take that off of you by forgiving yourself and believing and thanking Jesus? Thank you for forgiving me. See, when you go and say, Jesus, will you forgive me? There's a little exercise that will help you. After you ask Jesus to forgive you, do you ever do that? Every day, right? As soon as you say, Jesus, will you forgive me? The truth is, Jesus said, if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just or right to forgive us our sin. He said, his answer is yes. So when you come to him and say, Jesus, will you forgive me? And then you say, I remember the truth. The word says that if I come and confess it. Now, if you come and say, if I did wrong, Jesus, forgive me. He's like, let me know when you know. He said, when you're willing to agree with the truth, he said, because I can't forgive a lie. One, hold that thought. Hold the thought. Jesus, will you forgive me? And the word says, if I confess and I mean it. Now, do we need to start beating ourselves up? I'm such a worm. I'm so terrible. I always do this. I'll never change. Is that what we need to do? Is that where he wants us to live? Jesus, will you forgive me? You know, the word says God gave his word. He's not a liar. And God's word says if I confess, he'll forgive me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. I dare you to try it. Jesus, will you forgive me? Yes, his word said he will. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Try saying that. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. Oh, I'm saying it again. Thank you, Jesus, for forgiving me. I'm telling you, it'll make a difference. Because as you think is what you live. It's what you believe, and what you believe is what you live. Let me just read a few things. I'm going to give you some questions. I'm going to read through my notes, and then we're going to be done. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Jesus came to bear witness to the truth. What are the things that we should be thinking on? If you need some of these repeated at the end, then come to me afterwards because we're going to have food, fellowship, and be able to spend time together. And I bought the chicken early so I don't have to go, so I can stay here and talk with people. Okay, after I go potty. That was because Sue's so smart, because I wouldn't have thought of that. What we think is what we believe. And what we believe is what we live. Now, there are intrusive thoughts, lies, that the enemy is trying to get you to believe. You can't believe a lie and a truth about the same thing at the same time. Are you hearing me? So the enemy tries to put thoughts in your mind. You don't have to agree with them. Just because you thought it doesn't mean that's you. You have a thought of lust. You have a thought of lying. You have a thought of hurting. You have a thought of gossiping. That was a thought, because that's not where you want. You don't want to live there, do you? I only want Jesus living in me, right? Well, guess what? That's not your thought. The enemy's putting that in. Nope, I don't want anything to do with that. I'm sorry. Nope, I don't want anything to do with that, devil. Sorry. Nope, don't want anything to do with that. Jesus, I only want your thoughts. Okay? Those are intrusive thoughts. Thoughts that are trying to intrude, or what's that word, steal into your house. What do you call it? Invade, break in. They're trying to break into your life. Invade, that's the word. Those are invading thoughts, lies that the enemy is trying to get you to believe. You can break agreement with them. Do you know the devil has no power over you except the power you give him? When he gives you a thought, you're no good, and you go, yeah, I'm no good. As soon as you went, yeah, you just agreed with him. You just let that thought come live inside of you. No, I'm made in the image of God. He don't make no junk. You see what I'm saying? You don't let that lie inside of you. Or as soon as you realize it's a lie, you break agreement with it. Like our sister was saying, no, that's not what I'm going to live. That's not what I'm going to believe. You can break agreement with them because they are not your thoughts. Sue has a sermon called Spiritual Schizophrenia. You really need to own that sermon, that thought of that sermon. If you believe a lie, that is, if you receive it, then you are living with a lie. You want to live with a lie? Okay. And then you actually think that lie is the truth. Your lie becomes your truth because it's the way, it becomes the way you live. It's what you base your life on and what you make your decisions based on. We make decisions based on lies. And then we end up in the wrong place. Is our life based on truth or lies? Do we live by our feelings or truth? Do we make our daily decisions based on God's word or based on what we feel? Do we live every day on the foundation of the eternal truth of what God says in his word? Or do we live by what we think is true based on our experiences with other people, our feelings, or what others say and have done to us? Well, this must be true because everywhere I go, they do it to me. So, is our life based on truth or lies? Is it based on the supernatural or the natural? Are we living in the supernatural, living in the spirit realm, living the above life, or are we living in the natural realm, just by our feelings? Is that where you want to live? I don't like living the below life. I like living the upper life. I'm trying to just give you keys of how to get there and live there more often. You already know, before I even preached, everybody in here was saying. But how do we do it? We got to break agreement with the lie. You got to recognize it as a lie, break agreement with it, and then speak the truth. This is what I believe. Jesus said, that's why you got to get in the Word of God, so you know what Jesus said. Is our life based on the eternal or the temporary? Are we living above or below? What do you want your life based on? What do my feelings tell me? Write them down. I know they feel true, but after writing them down, ask yourself if deep down inside you really believe this is a truth you can stand on or would teach others to stand on. So, what do my feelings tell me? Now, what does God's Word have to say about this? Find scripture that deals with a particular issue. Write them down. If you don't know, and you don't even know where to look, ask other people that are in your life, hey, I'm dealing with this. Is there a scripture? Does the Bible teach about this? Make a choice. I'm going to live by my feelings and trust them. Who wants to make a choice to live by their feelings and trust your feelings from now on? This is what I want to base my life on, my feelings. I'm going to have that as my foundation of truth. If I feel it, it must be true. Can I just, I don't receive that. I like it. Am I going to live by my feelings and trust them? See, that's the key. And I'm going to trust them. Or I choose to trust in God and His Word no matter what I see, think, feel, or what others say and do. Anybody have something to say? Any comment, question, anything? Somebody? Of course. It's okay.
A couple of things. Try to make them short. I was at the shelter last night, and I was sitting in there and minding my own business, and I watched someone be disrespected, and actually I watched two people be disrespected, and what I saw was like a compassion, and we're all in the same situation, and there's someone that's supposed to be helping us, but you have no compassion. You can't help nobody if you don't have any compassion. And I watched a lady get kicked out the shelter last night, and I felt that was wrong. And based on the Bible, things was done out of anger, and you're not supposed to do that. You're not supposed to make decisions out of anger. So there was no compassion. And I believe people, as people, when we talk about things and we talk about, well, that's not right and we should do something about it, but our people today has lost hope. There's no hope that things is going to change. And I saw that last night while I was talking to the other ladies, that we've lost hope. And that's something that we need to work on, and we need to try to change in our world today, because people have lost hope and compassion. You say a prayer with us, and but you don't have compassion, and I can understand why people feel the same way, have some of the feelings that they have towards anybody that's in church, because you say you this, and then you do another thing. So I just feel like that's something we should work on.
Anybody else? I know it was already filtered, so I...
Sorry.
Go ahead.
You were talking about evil spirits wanting to invade your soul. Well, the devil is trying to conquer our soul. So that's why we need to choose the king, ally with the king instead of allying with the devil. It's a war.
That's it. So we're going to do two things. Stand up, please. An altar is a meeting place with God. If you need to come up and just do business with God. But I want us to do this. Hold your hands out, would you? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Can you say that with me? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. I want to learn to live this, Lord, every day. Thank you, Jesus.